Galatians chapter number 6. In our bulletin, we advertise this Sunday as Harvest Sunday. And usually the last Sunday of the month of October, that's what we designate that particular Sunday. This evening, I'd like to look at the law of the harvest, the law of cause and effect. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 6 through verse number 10. Thank you. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, the title of my message this evening is The Law of the Harvest, The Law of Cause and Effect. Let's pray. Lord, we ask and pray that you would guide and direct in our service this evening. Lord, there are needs global and needs local. There are needs international, there are needs in our own heart. Lord, we know that you know all things, but you also desire that we be still so that we might know that you are God. This evening I pray that we might get a better understanding, a better glimpse, a better picture of a number of things, and how I pray that you would give us spiritual understanding and spiritual discernment. Give us courage, Lord, as the Spirit of God speaks to each one of us in a personal and unique way. For those that couldn't be with us, we pray you'd be with them in a special way. Minister to us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the law of the harvest relates to the natural world. That's not difficult to understand. The law of the harvest also relates to the spiritual world. In other words, the universe is both physical and spiritual. Let me give you an illustration. This is one of the greatest illustrations, I think, in our natural world that we can use in a number of contexts. If you've taken physics, you've taken chemistry, you've taken basic science, you understand that there's energy that comes from the sun. We call that electromagnetic radiation. You with me? Okay. When we look at the sun, we see light. However, there's an awful lot that comes out of the sun we do not see, because our eyes can only process a certain portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. You with me? Good. On one side of the electromagnetic spectrum, where the wavelengths are really, really close together, we have gamma rays, deadly. X-rays are next, and then ultraviolet rays. Then we have a segment called visible light. You've all taken elementary art. Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, indigo. Roy G. B would be blue. I would be indigo. V would be violet. But we start from violet and we go to red, because I'm going in this direction, so stay with me. So we go from gamma rays to X-rays to ultraviolet to violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. As the wavelengths get longer, then we don't see them. Then there are infrared rays, there are radar waves, TV waves, FM rays, AM rays. You understand what I'm saying? Probably have no idea what I'm saying. The energy that comes out of the sun comes to us in a extreme amount of force, power, etc., but it can be broken down into three segments: invisible, visible, invisible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Invisible, deadly. Gamma rays, X-rays, fry you. Visible, we see the Son incarnate. And then we have the other end of the spectrum that's not dangerous at all. I want to say the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to say is here we have an example of physical representation. I don't want to call it a spiritual force, but we see that God's spiritual world is like God's natural world and God's physical world. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. You're very familiar with the portion. Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. So we have a physical, spiritual, simultaneous presentation of the creation of the universe. And I don't want us to miss the fact that when we look at this law of sowing and reaping, that we only think of in a spiritual context. I'm sorry, in a physical context. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the day the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And we could continue. So God spoke into existence the physical universe. The spiritual universe was already there. In the beginning was the Word. So let's not be in a box regarding what we think of when we think of this passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6. Let's go back there. So God's spiritual world came first, using spiritual laws first. So the universe is made of the spiritual, the intangible, and the incorporeal, as well as the physical, material, corporeal, and tangible. It's the same Lord and the same law and the same world. In fact, the physical world and the spiritual world are interconnected. We could even use the word interwoven. The teachings of Jesus and the epistles of the Apostle Paul are eternal teachings. So here in Galatians chapter 6, we're exposed to the great laws of sowing and reaping. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, be not fooled. Be not distracted. Be not misinformed. Be not ignorant. God is not mocked. He is not scorned. He is not disregarded. He is not derided. He is not ridiculed without payment. In the spiritual world, scorners and scoffers of the God of the Word, the mind of God, the genius of God, the Bible says they're a fool. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So the law of sowing and reaping is true in kind, and the law of sowing and reaping is true in degree. Let me just break down the sermon into those two parts, and I'll be done. The law of sowing and reaping in kind is true. Galatians 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary at well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The law of sowing and reaping is true in kind. A man reaps what he sows, not something else. What he sows, that is what he gets. The same thing. In the physical realm, if you sow corn, you get corn. If you plant an acorn, you get an oak tree. If you sow an education in the trades, plumber, carpenter, electrician, you get a tradesman. If you sow an education in engineering, you usually get an engineer. If you sow your life, your flesh, your body, your carnality, you reap, according to the Bible, corruption. A pause. If we sow self, we reap corruption. If we sow of the flesh, worldly things, worldly hopes, worldly houses, worldly treasures, worldly lives, we reap corruption. If you have money, you can buy a bed, but you cannot buy sleep. If you have money, you can buy food, but you cannot buy appetite. If you have money, you can buy medicine, but you cannot buy health. If you have money, you can buy a house, but you cannot buy a home. If you have money, you can buy pleasure, entertainment, and amusement, but you cannot buy happiness or peace. It all depends on the world you are living for. So if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. In the spiritual realm, if we sow to the Spirit, we reap of the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit yields, according to Galatians 6, life everlasting. Second part, I'm almost done. Now you know the second part's always the longest part. The law of sowing and reaping is true in degree as well as kind. So not only do we reap in kind, but also we reap in degree. When a person sows seeds, they expect a harvest. They expect more than the number of the seeds that they might have planted, whether they're bean seeds, corn seeds, pea seeds, cucumber seeds, whatever they happen to be. You expect more than you planted. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So let's take a moment and let's look at this passage of Scripture in context as we dissect and define what this actually is talking about. Look at verse 6. The word communicate here does not mean texting, email, or social media. The word communication in the King James Bible refers to financial support. It means money, services. It means resource allocation. Let him that is taught in the word give unto him that teacheth. Now, we don't like this part. If you're being taught in the word, Paul is suggesting in this lesson on sowing and reaping that our responsibility, our stewardship is to give. We don't like this part already. Pastor, I wish you'd just shut the service down. We're good. Paul is writing to the churches in the province of Galatia and asking those churches to support the ministry. In other words, he's challenging the readers and the listeners of this letter to be faithful in their stewardship of the ministries. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now remember, we're looking at the law of the harvest, the law of cause and effect. Physical laws, spiritual laws, all connected, all interweaved. 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly," that's another word of saying cheapskate, "shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also," what? "Bountifully. If a man sows to the flesh, he is thinking about himself. He is being selfish. He is focusing on what he can grasp and what he can keep for himself." Now we're expanding this passage of Scripture a little bit more than just beans and peas and corn. But we're putting it in context to what it really means. If a man sows to the flesh, then his harvest is going to be failure. He's going to reap despair. He's going to reap disappointment. And he's going to reap corruption. Now, we could spend all day, all month, talking about illustrations of people that lived for themselves. Successful people, entrepreneurs, business people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that lived for themselves, that gave to themselves. But they didn't give to God. And we could also talk for quite a while about people that turned the corner with their finances, turned the corner with their giving, and are known even today for their generosity, for their stewardship, etc. If a man, on the other hand, sows in the Spirit, giving what he has to God, he is investing what he has in the Lord. He's investing what he has in the church. He's investing what he has in the ministry. Dare say, he's investing what he has in the school. He shall reap a harvest as well. He shall reap a personal relationship with his Lord and Savior. He shall reap a spiritual benefit and reward that is far superior to any fleshly or physical object. Turn with me to John 17, if you would. Now remember, the laws of sowing and reaping are just as spiritual as they are physical. John 17. We call this Jesus' prayer to the Heavenly Father. Verse number 3, it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So Paul is going to make an appeal. He's going to basically say, I'm going to give you a spiritual and a biblical charge. Go back to Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6. So this particular passage of Scripture of sowing and reaping is a perfect Oreo cookie. You know how much I love Oreos. This is a double stuff. So we have the cracker, we have all that good cream, then we have the cracker. So we start in verse number 6. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now let's look at verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall," what's that word? "Reap if we fail not." What did I say? Thank you for the correction. Being weary in well-doing is natural and human. Usually when I ask people when they come to church how they're doing, that's usually when they're honest. "I'm tired." Being tired and worn out is part of the physical experience, right? But there's another law. It's called the spiritual law. But if we were to be plugged into the God of the Word and to rely on His power, His strength, and His wisdom, then the work that we do is actually His work through us. We not only have a tendency to be weary in well-doing, but we also have a natural tendency to think of how we could spend all of our resources on ourselves. That's natural, right? Because as soon as you get a windfall, you've already calculated in your mind where that's all going. We mentally figure out how the gifts and blessings of God could and should naturally, I mean, after all, go to us and for us. That's the law of sowing and reaping, right? It's for me. We carnally agree with ourselves that all of that time and energy that I give to the Lord, that I invest in the church, in that rescue mission, could and should be spent on me. We discourage ourselves when we entertain the wrong and unbiblical thoughts of using God's blessings for our own carnal and physical needs and desires. Thank you. I know that was a difficult one to say. In other words, the financial blessings and the resources that God has given to us for His ultimate stewardship are in our hands to either be corrupted, used for personal gain, or to be blessed by being released and given over to God's spiritual work. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. We shall reap. The question is, what are we going to reap? Our own plan or God's eternal promise? Sowing and reaping. If I sow to myself, the Bible clearly says, I shall reap corruption. If I sow to the flesh, to my carnal desires, to my human cravings, I shall reap corruption. If on the other hand, I sow my resources, my gifts, my finances, if I freely give them over to the Lord, I shall reap in a degree that is spiritual and not physical. Pause. What did I just say? That our finances, which is physical, can automatically turn into spiritual blessings. When released, instead of grasped. There's a story of a London preacher that went to go visit a very, very wealthy person in London. He's on his deathbed. The preacher goes to the deathbed, the side of the man, implores the man for him to accept Christ as a Savior before he died. Would you take my hand so I could lead you through a prayer? The man refused. His hand was clasped, and he died in that condition. The medical examiner came over and opened up his hand. Guess what was in his hand? The key to his safe. He wouldn't open up his hand to receive Christ. He kept his hand closed to protect his savings. His life work was represented by that key. It's a great illustration, isn't it? If I sow to the flesh, to my carnal desires, to my human cravings, I shall reap corruption. If on the other hand, I sow my resources, my gifts, my finances, if I freely give them over to the Lord, I shall reap in a degree that is spiritual and not physical. I shall reap a great reward, a hundredfold increase. I'm going to read three passages of scripture that you don't have to go to because I'm on a record pace here. It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So not only do we reap in kind, but we also reap in degree. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. No act, no deed, no gift, no program, no investment, no time, no love, no faith ever committed unto God ever goes without harvest. It never goes without a reward. 1 Corinthians 15, turn there quick. 1 Corinthians 15. You understand this is the chapter on the resurrection. The last verse in chapter 15 kind of seems out of place. Paul says in verse 58, therefore, he summarizes the entire chapter on the resurrection with a therefore. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of yourself, in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor will not be rewarded. Sure it will be rewarded. It'll be rewarded a hundredfold. How do I know? Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Pastor, these are two different chapters. You don't have to go from one to the other. You can just stop right there in 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll be happy. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. How many times have I preached on giving? Not many. Maybe 12 in 18 years. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, we were just in Galatians chapter 6, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. No act, no deed, no gift, no program, no investment, no time, no love, no faith ever committed unto God ever goes without its harvest, never goes without its reward. The Lord makes it grow. How does he do it? The law of sowing and reaping. He multiplies it, not only in kind, but in degree. In other words, sow to God. Sow in the Spirit. Sow to Christ. Sow to his kingdom program, and you will reap all of the rich rewards. Not just that, but you will receive a multiplied reward, a hundredfold. Now you think I'm preaching a prosperity gospel, don't you? No, Galatians chapter 6, it's right there. The Bible clearly teaches in the law of cause and effect, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of the harvest, that nothing done or dedicated to the Lord shall ever fall to the ground. Do not be discouraged. Do not be weary in well-doing. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be faithless. For in due season, we shall reap. Matthew chapter 10 will end there. Stephen, stop smiling. He's saying that's the shortest sermon my uncle ever gave. Say that again. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now clearly, there are 100 sermons we could preach on sowing and reaping. Parables, lessons that Jesus taught, etc. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If you do that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, self, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Church family, let us do good to them that we know, that we fellowship with, that we minister with every single week. Let's pray. The law of the harvest, the law of cause and effect. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for this reminder, for this encouragement, for this promise that you've given to us. The interconnectedness between the physical and the spiritual world. A financial reminder, a stewardship challenge, where you encourage us to be giving, to invest in eternal things. Because when we pass, we can take nothing with us. Help us to prioritize those things that you have entrusted to our stewardship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.